SBS
Radio.
Hello, my name is Bene. Our guest today is Kala Abel Olfesai, a recent economics graduate who joined us in our Melbourne studio to share his personal journey through university and beyond. Kalab reflects on his academic experience, the challenges he faced, and the strategies that helped him succeed. He also highlights the opportunities available for young people, particularly those from African refugee backgrounds, and offers practical advice on navigating the job market and securing employment. His story is a testament to resilience, ambition, and the power of family support. So thank you for coming, and can you start by telling us a little about yourself, where you were born and your journey in Australia, generally about yourself first?
Yeah, okay. So my name is Caleb Fesaha. I was born, mostly raised in Australia. I lived one and a half years in Ethiopia from 2017-2018. I came back to Australia to do my VCE, so my year 11 and 12, so that I can get enrollment into university here. And I did a Bachelor of Business. I majored in economics. Most of my subjects at university after my compulsory units were economics related, especially sort of the line of development economics and international economics. I have a keen interest for that. Some things I do on the side for hobbies. I played basketball. I've been playing basketball since I was, you know, maybe 12 years old. I've always enjoyed that. I still play today, not as competitively as I did before, but I still play today with friends. And yeah.
So why you did choose to study economics? Because people usually study social science like social work, nursing, engineering, and IT most of the time. So what made you to decide to study economics?
Yeah, so from very young, I think I've had a major influence from a lot of my mom's friends' children, so family friends essentially. They worked in accounting, so I knew that I was always business orientated from very young age. However, in year 11, when I started doing VCE, I chose to do economics because my school actually didn't even have business management. They didn't even have accounting. They only had economics. So I was like, okay, this is the only business related unit, so I might as well do it. I did it and I really enjoyed it. There's a two-part system when it comes to economics. There's the very theoretical component, you know, academia, when we look at research papers, but then there's the proactive things that we see in society today that it's just so prevalent. Like if you see the RBA, the way they change interest rates, the way that's applied households to households, how to understand discretionary income versus, you know, household income, and just the variances when it comes, and seeing that in my day-to-day life and applying that knowledge in the day-to-day life of what, you know, when I go buy, for example, a coffee before I go to university, you know, the incentive behind that. So that's the really the crux of why I really chose to do economics.
So how did your upbringing shape your outlook and on education and success? Were there any help or support from the family? So what does it look like in terms of education inside your family?
Yeah, so education, I think, has been a very thing that's always been around me, as in my family. You know, my dad came from, you know, he immigrated from, you know, Ethiopia, came to Australia. I saw him throughout when I was a youth. I saw him studying. I saw him doing his master's. My older sister, she wanted to get into education, and she's 10 years older than me. So seeing that at a young age, seeing her studying to become a teacher, seeing the importance of education, what it does to students, and her just tutoring me and just developing my own, studies and finding my interests. She really helped me on that side. So I think in terms of, I guess, family values and what I've come from, I think I've had a strong, a strong sense of education around me. I would also say that towards the line of, you know, when you get to year 9, year 10 sort of stage, you start thinking about what you want to do when you finish high school. And at the time, I was in Ethiopia, and I went to an international school called Bingham Academy, and a lot of my peers are really focused. They'll talk about many American schools, many UK schools, many British schools, and like they're even at year 9, year 10, they're already starting the applications. you know, and that's in year 12. You know, it's a different system in America, but I was just seeing that resilience very early on. And I think because my friends were like that as well, it sort of cultivated in me and kind of, you know, pushed my passion out.
So was there a particular person that inspired you to keep going in education, apart from your family?
I would say my friends. I had a friend named Kudus. He was probably my biggest influence because we played basketball together every day. We always play competitively against each other, see who tries to beat the other person on 1v1. And he would also be very a very good person outside of that. So he'd be raising fundraisers for non-for-profits in Ethiopia, in Addis Ababa at the time.
Okay.
And he would also be very resilient with school. And I think having that influence from him kind of shaped me in that way. I really wanted to be sort of something that, you know, that I'm really proud of. And I think balancing all those factors together, that was a really big influence in my life.
So what were some of the biggest challenges you faced throughout your academic journey?
Yeah, economics is not an easy degree.
Yeah.
There's a lot of maths involved. I particularly come from a more English history dominant background than maths. Maths wasn't my strong suit in high school, but in university, I learned to love it by just joining societies, talking to people. And a lot of people, you know, they go to university and then they go home. And that's pretty much how it goes. But what I decided to do was I decided to join societies, make myself involved. And you actually find the beauty of these topics. You find like-minded students. You see people that, you know, are striving for something, and that makes you want to strive for something as well. And I think even having small discussions about, for example, the Chinese housing market, not too long ago at a networking event, I had a conversation with a person about that. I had zero knowledge or anything, but they knew so much, and that pursued me or made me want to pursue knowledge in that field. I think that was kind of what I made sure I did at uni. I made sure I made the best I could. I took any opportunity. I spoke to people, even though it meant like staying at university at, you know, 11 p.m., you know, 10 p.m. at night, and then traveling back home an extra hour and a half.
As a follow-up question, coming from a refugee background, how accessible do you think higher education is for young people like yourself, those people who especially come from Africa, for example?
Accessibility, I'd say right now it's becoming more prevalent. There's people my age organizing various events around the community, whether it be the broader African community or even the Ethiopian community. I think I see that coming up more often now, and I think that's because we are becoming more academically inclined. I think when I started uni, my first year uni, I didn't really see as many Ethiopian or African students, and now when I'm leaving uni, the societies, there's so many now. I'm seeing them.
Any support system like mentors, scholarships, community programs, is there any help coming from this kind of organizations?
Yes. So I'd say there's kind of a couple avenues. So there's a direct for university specific.
Yeah.
They do grants. So you do get, for example, if you live far away, you do get some sort of subsidies. So I had, I'm not too sure and specific, but I was a couple hundred dollars off my semester fees just because I live in Tani and my university is in Clayton.
Okay.
So that's like one thing.
Any scholarships specifically for refugee people, like people coming from Africa, for example?
Yeah.
Is there any specific targeting those students?
From what I know at my university, there hasn't been a specific one. However, they do take into account things like your background. What if you come from a non-dominated background in the area? Like if you come from a non-represented school, if you come from a background where you have parents that are refugees or that didn't study above you know, year 12 or year 9, respective of where they studied. They do take that consideration, especially when you're doing your ATAR for year 12.
Okay.
They do take in consideration your background. If, you know, you're the first one to apply for university or
first
one, that does come in. And the subsidy in that wouldn't be anything monetarily or a scholarship. It would be more so they might inflate your score or they might make it easier for you to enter university. But for a broader, like, I guess, African context, for African students or, you know, African refugees, I would say the current ones, they're more so third party related. So I'm not too sure specifically on the specifics, but yeah.
So you told me that there are many African students joining university and graduating.
Yeah.
So how is the job opportunity after you finish your degree, for example? You can tell us your experience in terms of getting job in your career.
Yeah, so I think it was my second year in university. Yeah, it was my second year. I did an internship at a Big Four firm. And that, I would say, alone was just because of being diligent in the process. First year of university, they had an access program for first-year students. Before you even get to apply, they wanted to see how you are, and you go to a networking event, and you talk to a few recruiters. And recruiters will take in mind who you are, what uni you're from, you're also your background. You know, they also want to see a diverse background. That's what they're targeting more nowadays, DE&I. And so I think I just kind of recruited and networked from my first year, and the second year I was able to land an internship. And I did that. Internships are pretty competitive, especially in Australia, given that we're a smaller market compared to America, UK. But I think over time, there has been a growing consensus of providing more opportunities for people that come from non-represented backgrounds. A few weeks ago, I actually spoke to somebody that works as a principal at a firm in Melbourne.
Yeah.
It's a big firm around Australia. They work with clients like around Oceania and even America. They're also considering African youth internship programs for people that come from first generation.
So this is for the students who are still studying at the university.
Yes, that would be for African students. It's still in the process, but I think the more that they see, I guess, representation of us, and at universities and at networking events, they will kind of this thing will slowly type of inflate and will go towards.
So what about after you graduate? For example, did you get a job immediately?
Yep.
You told me that you had an opportunity for internship, but for those students who doesn't have that kind of opportunity after they graduate, how likely is the job opportunity for this kind of people?
So job opportunity depends what industry you're in.
Yeah.
If you come from, you know, for example, nursing, there's a lot of opportunities. Yeah. If you come from things like law or commerce backgrounds, it is more competitive. However, there's a lot of opportunity to there's a lot of opportunities around. A lot of people are hiring, and I think it's more so how you navigate that, because obviously you don't want to just apply and leave it. You want to apply. You want to maybe reach out to a recruiter, and I think those options are very much available. We have platforms like LinkedIn.
Yeah,
I got LinkedIn my first year uni, and I think it's terrific. It's, you know,
you can connect with people.
Yeah, exactly. Like I've had times where I didn't even reach out to a recruiter. A recruiter reached out to me and asked me if I was wanting to interview for a role.
Okay.
So there's many opportunities in that aspect. And it just depends on the industry. But I definitely would say there would be no difference for wherever you come from in Australia or your background, because they are looking for more diverse, you know, hiring range, and they are very open.
Yeah. Okay. So what kind of change would you like to bring to your community, for example? Because they expect you.
So I have a friend. He's in the same type of bracket as me. We're both looking for roles. We both finished university. I'd say I definitely, this is something I'll probably say a little bit more into my actual business career, but I definitely want to host networking events, especially for African students. And they actually get one-on-one mentoring or one-on-one getting a chance to speak at panels or whatnot at, with professionals in the field, no matter if it's law, commerce, you know, and many other industries. I want to make that kind of make that opportunity easier to access. And I think the main thing for people is to actually envision themselves in certain industries and certain professions. And when you see a mentor or when you talk to somebody and ask them about their role, you really get to see that and you really get to envision yourself into that area. So I think that's my main thing that I want to start in the future, some sort of event or community created type of, you know, networking thing. And yeah, that's definitely something I'd be interested in doing in the future. Yeah.
So what message do you have for other young African or youth from a refugee background who might be struggling or doubting themselves?
Yeah, I definitely recommend, especially if you're wanting to get, if you know what you're studying, and if, even if you don't know what you're studying, research, look at the facts that you know. Once you have some sort of interest or, you know, or even if you're confused or you want to know more about something, I would definitely recommend reaching out to people in the field, no matter who it is. I remember I even went to Sydney for a 5-day holiday. And in that time, I've messaged maybe 20, 30 people for a coffee. And most of them said yes. So, and so I just had a coffee. I talked to them about their career, about their role. And after that, they knew my name by in person. I spoke to them after. And yeah, many opportunities from that opened up. So just if you're wanting to get into an industry and you don't know, lead with conviction and try and just message someone, reach out. Show the, you know, willingness to, I guess, understand and learn. I think that's a very big importance because some people, I feel like, I guess, some people feel like, oh, it would be weird if I reached out to this person or, you know, they might be scared to. These people, when they see you message, when they see you message them, they will more likely to respond because they will see themselves in your shoes because they know that they were that student a few years ago or even one or, you know, a couple months ago if talking to graduates. Yeah, definitely be confident in yourself. I think that's also another big thing. Industry, there's a lot of people trying to get into the industry. That would be my main recommendation.
So finally, is there anything you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I definitely think, look, if you you are interested in anything, especially in the, towards the line of commerce, economics, finance, even accounting as well, reach out to me. You can contact me on LinkedIn. It's Caleb Fesseha, K-L-E-A-B space F-E-S-S-E-H-A. Reach out to me. Even though I'm probably not in the industry itself, I think I have a good coverage and understanding on many different industries in that sector. It's very broad. And yeah, that'll be one thing. I'd love to say to the listeners and whoever's listening, please reach out.
Thank you, and congratulations for your studies.
Thank you.
Yeah, Caleb Fesseha, we are happy to host you here in SBS.
I appreciate
studio.
It. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.